You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Coming up.
I just feel like I'm in heteronormative hell.
You could solve all of your problems, supposedly, by just opening up your relationship and smashing all these blokes.
A Gay and a Non-Gay is a podcast from James Barr and Dan Hudson. Two unlikely friends take on the world.
So, in today's episode, a big announcement.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, but I can't tell you yet because the email's not landed.
Right, okay.
So, yeah.
So maybe next week there'll be a big announcement.
Welcome to A Gay and a Non-Gay.
Welcome along to the podcast. I didn't recognise James because he's standing up straight, whereas if you watch the Brit Awards, you might be mistaken in thinking that James leans to one way all the time.
Look, there was a camera, Dan. I don't know how, but I was sat on a table. I mean, I don't like talking about this because I sound like a dickhead. I was sat on a table right in front of the camera. So, of course, I was going to lean into every shot. I mean, who wouldn't?
I can't knock it. I mean, it's just funny. James was literally like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Behind Maya Jama. And every time she sort of moved slightly to the left, James and his missus, his radio missus, Fleur East, would like lean to the right.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. I got so many texts about it. It was almost like every other shot.
It was really funny because eventually other people near us started realizing what was happening and they started joining us. So people I'd never met before would start chatting to us and we were just laughing about absolutely nothing.
Did you have a conversation with Fleur where you said, we're in shot, let's start leaning into the shot?
No, there was no conversation. It was just a natural, right, okay. It was a natural event, Dan.
I can't say I wouldn't do it myself.
Also, did you know that ISIS wanted to throw gay people off the Leaning Tower of Pisa? Well, they called it pizza in 2015. I'm a bit triggered by that, Dan. I honestly think it's probably a bit embarrassing, actually. After maybe the fifth time. I remember thinking, like, this is getting a bit much now.
Right.
I don't know if I can keep doing this.
But you did.
But I did, of course, yeah.
I noticed you were back on the bottle.
Oh, no. I thought about that, actually, when I was at the Brits, because Yeah, a while ago, obviously, we chatted about me giving up alcohol.
Yeah.
This was during, like, last summer, and we haven't talked about it since then. But yeah, I gave up for, like, 3 months.
You gave up giving up, or you gave...
I guess both. I gave up giving up after about 3 months. And it's so funny you bring it up, because I actually saw our friend Dean recently, who is sober, and Dean was really supportive of me giving up. So I had to kind of let Dean know.
Right.
Because I bumped into him whilst I was drinking an espresso martini.
Right.
I was like, oh, by the way, I'm drinking a bit now. But this is the thing with it. Like, it's a journey, isn't it? There's no shame in not being able to give up.
I do have a couple of friends who don't really drink that much, but you only know that if you watch them like a hawk. Otherwise, you would assume they were getting leathers all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. Like, when you're not drinking, you can have so much fun. I think probably more fun. So, like, loads of my friends that don't drink are always on Instagram stories, just, and they look like they're getting on it, but they're completely sober.
Yeah.
And they're having the best time.
Yeah.
Everyone else is like falling around them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they look perfect. Yeah. So I started drinking again after giving up for about 3 months. I gave up giving up. And it's really hard to give up alcohol when you're gay, because our whole movement was like born in a gay bar, right? So, I mean, not all of it. Obviously, back in the day and when the Romans were being gay, they didn't have gay bars.
Yeah.
Or maybe they did. But Stonewall and the British gay rights movement, it was all born, I think, in gay bars and safe spaces that are actually safe spaces, mm-hmm. which, you know, are most commonly pubs, bars. So it's kind of weird giving up, because I suddenly felt like I couldn't go out anymore. I felt like I didn't have my friends near me. I didn't have my community near me. And I think especially after the pandemic, being so isolated from our community, I really felt by the end of giving up alcohol that I was really disconnected and I needed to get back. So I went to the Two Brewers and I had a drink
Right.
And it was so weird having a drink after 3 months because I felt every single bit of it. I didn't get like wasted. And at the point where I felt like I'd had enough, which was maybe 4 or 5 drinks, which is probably quite a lot actually thinking about it now in hindsight. I was like, right, I'm going to go home now.
4 or 5 what?
Like doubles or something.
So 10.
So quite a lot of drinks. But I was like, right, I'm going home. I'm cutting this off at like 1 a.m. rather than 6 a.m. or something.
Are you drunk at the minute?
No.
You sure?
Drunk on life.
You had 10 drinks and then went home.
Yeah, so...
It was a quiet night.
And same at the Brits, actually. I'm a bit more in control.
Right.
So we had free alcohol on the table and I only drank half a bottle of champagne to myself. And I thought that was pretty reserved, like pretty good across 3 hours of being sat there.
I don't really know what champagne
Well, that's
champagne
like two glasses,
are.
Two right. and a bit.
Okay.
Over 3 hours, so I didn't think that was that out of control. And then I went home. James picked me up. We went to a drive through McDonald's and I got to bed by midnight versus like going out all night until 5 a.m. like I would have done before. So I think
so your boyfriend came all the way to the O2 in the middle of the night?
At like 10 p.m, yeah.
Right.
But I live near the O2.
Do you?
You've been to my house.
Why didn't need to come and pick you up?
What is wrong with you? Do you have any awareness? Do you actually care about me at all?
I know where your house is. Well, actually,
you've
no.
You've been to my house.
All I know about your house is it's miles away from anything. So like the O2... feels like
it's not miles away from anything. It's right near the O2.
It felt like it was miles
away. Right, that's because you live miles away from anything.
No also, I live in the center
of
North London.
I just want to bring up something else. Dan recently wrote an email to someone telling them all about our podcast, talking about who we were as people, and he said in it, James has a cat. I don't have a cat. I have a dog.
Yeah, but
I know you don't like dogs, but
well, I don't like cats either. So
how could
not...
you miss
Well, because...
I misgendered my dog.
Because I was on the way to this meet... Here's the thing.
You misspecied my animal.
Here's the thing. Like, I'm actually... I've got to make a point on behalf...
You could apologise, but...
No,
I will
but let me just make the point.
Why don't you apologise first?
Okay, I apologise. But first, let me just make the broader point. As I'd fallen asleep that night, it was to question time, where the last question was this footballer who beats up cats or whatever, which had actually dominated the news agenda the entire previous day as well. So that was on my mind. So that's why... that combination of things happened. If I saw your dog, I'd obviously would know that it was a dog and not a cat. But I'm sorry you're offended by it. But you could have sent the email and saved me having to do it.
I mean, it does look like you don't really give a shit. Especially as you never even ask how my dog is.
Okay,
what's his name?
How's your dog?
What's his name?
Your dog is called Hugo.
Oh, well done. Well done.
Thanks. Well, it's hard to miss.
Yeah, he's all right. He's been with my mum.
Well, and we all, but how's the...
Oh, for God's sake. He's all right, yeah. I mean, no, he's actually a fucking nightmare. And regularly, James and I are like, God, was this the right decision? But I love him. He's amazing. And he keeps me company. And it's nice, actually, just having a dog. Because you can shut the world out and just be a dog dad.
Right.
So, yeah, he's cool.
Great.
He sends his love and says meow. Anyway. What were we talking about? Alcohol. So, yes, I think it's important to know your limit with it. I think it's really dangerous to lean into it, to like hide your shame. And I think another reason I gave up at the time was because I felt quite sad. And I'm not on antidepressants right now. So I was like, right, I better listen to myself and I better stop taking a depressant. If I'm not taking antidepressants, why would I deliberately drink myself into depression?
Yeah.
Alcohol obviously is a depressant. So yeah, I just wanted to hit pause on it to figure out what was going on with myself.
And now you've hit play.
And now I think I know what's going on, so I'm okay managing it.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. Wait, you're not going to ask what's going on?
What's going on?
Why didn't you want to know?
Because I thought you alluded to that. But okay, go on. No.
No, I mean you could ask.
Yeah.
Anything.
No. What's going on?
I just was a bit fed up of being like. I've said this to my boyfriend, so it's okay. I just feel like I'm in heteronormative hell. Like, being in a relationship is quite exhausting because it's not familiar to me. And single people will be listening, like, probably don't want to hear this, but being in a relationship is not quite the dream or, like, what people sell to you, I think. Like, I thought I'd be completely fixed. You know, I found my other half, it'll be done. But you aren't really, are you? You just kind of end up, you love someone, whatever, but it's not the answer.
What's the question?
Well, I don't know. But I always thought being in a relationship would be like, I thought it was goals. You know, people always go like goals.
Yeah.
I don't know if that is goals. Like being in a relationship. It's nice. But my whole life until this point was sleeping around, getting drunk, making bad decisions, trauma. So it's cool maybe not having some of that, but it's also quite weird. You know, like, oh, have you walked the dog this morning? Cool. Have you made the bed? Okay, cool. Is it my turn to clean? Is it your turn to clean? Did you put the cock ring away? Et cetera, et cetera. Like all of this boring stuff that we've talked about a bit here. It's quite boring, isn't it? What are we going to have for dinner tonight?
That's not boring.
I mean, it is a bit.
Well,
it's not very exciting, is it?
Well, it depends what you're having.
Well, I used to be like, oh, what STI am I catching tonight? And now I'm like, oh, what dinner are we getting tonight? Yeah, I guess it's okay. Also, we don't really see each other anyway because he works nights and I work mornings. So we hardly ever get time together as it is. So that's also difficult. So I guess I feel a bit lonely in the relationship sometimes. And I feel a bit like all we do is discuss dog care and house admin and take the bins out.
I think the point that you're missing is that that's basically life, isn't it? Life is admin and...
Oh, my God. No one ever told me that being in a relationship was literally taking the bins out.
Well, you weren't listening then. Life is...
Boring?
Yeah, but... Basically, yeah.
But I don't want it to be boring.
Well, there's nothing I can do about that.
I don't think being gay is boring. I'm not bored necessarily now anyway, but I've never been bored. It's always been quite traumatic and exciting at the same time. So it's weird. Like,
I don't think boring isn't the word. Mundane, I guess, is...
Okay, so there's bits of life, yeah, that are mundane, but it shouldn't all be mundane. And it's not. But relationships specifically, I'm not talking about life, I guess. I'm saying like being with someone, settling down... That's quite different to what I expected. Yeah, I just didn't expect it to be so mundane at times. And I think that is a gear shift. Going from like orgies in New York to taking the bins out. It's just weird, isn't it? I don't know how you adjust to that. So I think that's what was making me quite sad. And then I was drinking to like get through that. And then I just sort of felt like I better stop drinking because I'm going to make bad decisions if I keep drinking. And I don't want to do that. I want to figure out what's going on in my head before I allow myself to like lose control, because drinking means you lose control.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
So yeah, I was unhappy. I wanted to stop. And then by doing that, I kind of realized why I was unhappy, because the alcohol cleared and my brain, I was able to sort of catch up with what was really going on. And yeah, we had this really nice chat about it. And I think that's cool. I don't know where we are now with it. Like, I know we're together and we're happy. And that's really all that matters. But I think it's interesting how being in a relationship, how do you navigate being queer and also be in a relationship? Because to me, being gay was all about getting drunk, sleeping with loads of men, partying. And now I'm in a relationship where I'm not doing that.
But you're always banging on about saying, oh, gay people can just open up their relationships and do whatever they want, right? And I've always said that I don't think that's necessary. In fact, as recently as the other day, I said to you, I'm not necessarily sure that's quite as simple as you're making out.
In what sense?
You could solve all of your problems supposedly by just opening up your relationship and smashing all these blokes. And then if that's what you're missing, right?
I don't think it's the only thing though. I think there's more to it. Like, but yeah, I know what you, yeah, but it, yeah, but I guess I'm wrestling with that, because I'm like, is that okay? Or is that not? Like, I guess I have shame about that. So yeah, of course, I've said before, like, open up, do what you want. And I think so many of my friends' relationships who are straight, like, they would have solved their problems if they just opened up and just, like, had fun together rather than, like, getting upset about what they might be missing or whatever. But it's not as easy as just, it's not as easy as just opening up, actually, is it?
That's what I suspected.
It probably is, but both people want to be on the same page.
Well, yeah,
like,
exactly.
You've got to set your own rules, whatever they might be, and then how do you know if those are the right rules? I've always been like really interested in open relationships and what they mean and how they work. And my friend said something quite cool. He said, with his relationship, being open is the key word, and that being open means being open and honest with every single thing. Not just being open, like legs open.
Right.
But like open emotionally.
Right.
So like telling each other every single thing. I think that's really interesting. So I guess that could be the key to it. If I was to do that with my boyfriend, I think that would be great to be open. But then there's also like the don't ask, don't tell policy that quite a lot of gay people go through.
Right.
So yeah, I think people can operate open relationships like that too, where they don't tell each other what's going on.
Yeah.
So it's like a respected thing. Because aren't relationships just friendships anyway at the end of the day? You're in a straight heteronormative relationship, so...
No, I'm not.
What do you mean? Yes, you are. You're a heterosexual and so is your girlfriend, so...
Well, it's heterosexual, but it's not actually...
Ah, right.
Heteronormative.
Yeah.
There's nothing heteronormative. There's nothing normal about being in a relationship with someone who lives 5,000 miles away who I never see.
Yeah, that is a fair point.
Cool.
The thing is, actually, that's actually really gay. For me, that's quite a gay experience because I've had so many relationships with guys that have lived 5,000 miles away.
Right.
Like I had one in New York, in LA, and there was a guy in Madrid once, and then there was a guy in Canada. There was the Canada guy.
Yeah, I remember the Canada guy. Yeah.
And, oh my God, there was the guy in Berlin, and then... And Craig in Leicester. I forgot Craig. He was more of a fuck buddy, but anyway.
That's quite the journey.
A gay and a non-gay.
Has your email come through?
Are you ready for this, Dan?
Yes.
Congratulations to James Barr and Dan Hudson of A Gay and a Non-Gay on being recognised as one of the British LGBT Awards top 10 online influencers.
Woo!
What? This is so insane to say this out loud. I'm so overwhelmed.
Yes.
This means so much. This is insane.
This is the British LGBT Awards, right?
Yes, it is.
No, I haven't heard of it.
What?
But
this is a big deal.
This is a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
this
cool.
year, Alan Carr, Steps, Lady Gaga, Ollie Alexander, they're all nominated. And then also James Barr and Dan Hudson, again, non-gay, are nominated.
Amazing. Like,
this is a huge deal. And in our category, online influencer, there are some seriously amazing people. So I don't want to get your hopes up, basically, is what I'm saying.
Right,
like,
I don't
necessarily think that we will walk away with this award. But to be nominated among such hugely influential people is massive. DJ Crystal Lake, Rudy Jean, Seb Argo and Dion Yorkie, Mawan Rizwan.
Yes, it's amazing.
Are you disappointed that you weren't nominated for Celebrity Ally?
I noticed that I wasn't.
Jade Thirlwall from Little Mix, Ellie Goulding, Davina McCall, Daniel Radcliffe all nominated for Celebrity Ally, but not Dan Hudson. You are nominated in the online influencer section.
Yeah, it's amazing to be nominated for the British LGBT Awards. Do they have bronze, silver, or gold, or is it just the winner takes all?
I actually have no idea, so I guess we'll find out. Although we've won bronze and silver a couple of times now, haven't we? So...
By the looks of things, there's just winners and losers.
Oh, no.
So...
Okay.
Well, I've got a 1 in 10 chance.
This is... Well, I mean, it's actually voted for by our listeners. So if you're listening to this right now, please go online to thebritishlgbtawards.com to vote for Dan and I as online influencers. But honestly, being nominated, that I genuinely mean this. I've learned now, having not won a lot of awards, that means that's all I need.
Yeah,
I'm really happy with that. I'm overwhelmed, actually. And I think it's funny that you're nominated in there.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's hilarious.
Because you're not LGB or T, and you're in there anyway for the work you've done on this podcast. So I hope that you actually now seeing yourself as an ally to some extent. Imagine if we won and you went up there and went, don't really see myself as an ally, mate. But, you know, thanks a lot. I'll take it. See you later.
We'll see what happens on Friday, the 24th of June, which does clash with Glastonbury. So there's a bit of a...
That's awkward for you.
Well, we'll see what happens with that.
You are joking. I mean, you have to be there. You can't go to Glastonbury when you're nominated for a British LGBT award.
Anyway.
Visit britishlgbtawards.com and please vote for us.
Oh, is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Oh, people vote?
Yeah, people can vote, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Go to britishlgbtawards.com to vote.
Thanks for listening, babes. Do the admin and support a gay and a non-gay. Visit gaynongay.com/donate.